Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Psalm 25. And we're looking this morning particularly at verses 1 to 6. Psalm 25, and we're looking at verses 1 to 6. Let me just read those verses for you again. And David says there, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercies, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. We've been studying the book of Psalms for a number of months now, well over a year actually, and we found this is a very valuable book to study because the Psalms record the experiences of God's people. This is, I think, why they're so precious to us. This is why Christians so often turn to the Psalms. We have here the experiences of God's people. And we all go through these experiences, we read the Psalms, and there they are mirrored for us. There are Psalms which are Psalms of rejoicing. And praise God, there are times when we rejoice. There are times when we are blessed of God. There are times when God by His Spirit comes to visit us. There are times when Jesus is precious to us, when our hearts are filled with His love, when God is so close to us, when heaven is such a reality to us, and there are great times of rejoicing in our hearts. And we turn to the Psalms and we rejoice with the psalmist because the psalmist has had similar experiences. There are times when we meditate on the great character of God and our minds give to who is God and what is revealed of His character. And we turn to a psalm like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or we turn to another psalm and we talk about how close God is to His people. And we talk about how God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And so the Psalms reflect our experiences. And then, of course, there are times when we are in great difficulty. There are times when we have great trials, great troubles. And the Psalms help us here because we find that the psalmist is similarly in great trial and great difficulty, and he has written a psalm. And Psalm 25 is one of those psalms. It is a psalm that was written when David was in peculiar difficulties, when he was facing great, great trials. We know this because of what he says later in this psalm, not in the verses that I'm looking at, but a bit later, if you look at it from verse 16 onwards, you will find there a series of words which are some of the most powerful words in the Bible. And they're all there bunched up together in a matter of just a few verses, a whole series of words which describe his problem. Look at it from verse 16, and this is what he says. He says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me," and then come these series of words, "For I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. They have been magnified. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me." So those four verses, 16, 17, 18, 19, There are these words that have all come in one go. They come one after the other. I'm lonely. I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart have been magnified. They've piled up upon me. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive me all my sins. Consider how many are my enemies and with what violent hatred they hate me. And those words tell us that David was in deep distress here. He was in enormous difficulty when he wrote this psalm. Are you in deep distress today? Are you having problems, difficulties? Are there anxieties? Are there worries that you have? May I share with you something very openly? I hardly slept last night because I have a trial in my family. And that trial wouldn't go away. I prayed about it. I brought it to the Lord. And I keep bringing it to the Lord. And I would wake up in the night and there it is, this issue that is there in my family life. It will not go away. And I look at this psalm and it brings me comfort. And if you're having trials today, I want to say to you, this psalm will bring you comfort. We're looking at verses 1 to 6 this morning. And in verses 1 to 6, David does what we should always do when we face difficulties. He prays. Wasn't that a helpful family talk where Mike reminded us? Yes, we can turn to friends, and that's a good thing to do. We mustn't ever overlook that. And yes, we can try and fix it ourselves. And there are certain issues, I guess, we can try and fix ourselves. But you know, when you've got the kind of trials that he's looking at here, he says, I'm lonely, I'm afflicted, the troubles of my heart are magnified, I've got distresses, I've got afflictions, I've got troubles, I've got sins, I've got enemies, and my enemies hate me with a violent hatred. These are not things you can fix yourself. So in verses 1 to 6, David turns to God in prayer. Those verses 1 to 6, we're reading David's prayer. And I'm simply going to ask this question this morning. Why should we give ourselves to prayer when we're facing deep trials? Do you know what happens when we face deep trials? The devil comes, and the devil will do everything in his power to move us away from prayer. The devil will do everything in his power to put prayer at the bottom of the list of things we can do. Because the devil knows our greatest weapon, our greatest resource when we have trials is prayer. He knows this. He knows that the first thing we should do is to pray. He knows that the thing that we should do consistently is to pray. He knows that the thing we should do is to ring others, to contact others and to say, will you pray for me because I've got these trials? And he knows that prayer is our greatest weapon and the source of our greatest comfort and the source of our greatest power. He knows this. The devil knows the value of prayer far more than any Christian does. I'm ashamed to say it, but it is true. The devil knows how powerful prayer is more than we do. If we knew the power of prayer, our prayer meetings would be overflowing. The devil knows how powerful prayer is. And this is why when we face trials and difficulties, immediately the devil says, try this, do that, contact this person, try this method, do this. And he pushes prayer down the list. Now you notice what David does. David doesn't mention his afflictions at the beginning of this psalm. We have to go towards the end of the psalm to look at his afflictions. We have to go to verses 16 to 19. To see the afflictions. Doesn't begin with afflictions. Begins with prayer. Look at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. David has learned the lesson. I'm in trials. I pray. And I give myself to prayer. So this question that I'm asking this morning. Why should we give ourselves to prayer? Why is it that this is the first thing that we do when we're facing deep trials? I have three reasons for you. They're found in those six verses. Three reasons. And the first reason is this. Because God is our Father. Because God is our Father. The reason I say that is because of the name that he uses of God in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that that name, Lord, is the English translation of the Hebrew name Jehovah. And you know that that name Jehovah, God revealed to his people first when they were in difficulty in Egypt. When you read your Old Testament, you come to the book of Exodus. If you've never read the Bible, I thoroughly recommend you get hold of the Bible and read it. And you find the second book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. And the people of Israel were in Egypt. And their trials were huge. They could actually have said what David says in this psalm. They could have said, each Israelite could have said, I'm lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Consider my afflictions and my troubles and my distresses. Consider how many enemies I have and with what violent hatred they hate me. Every Israelite could have said that in Egypt. They were in deep, deep distress. And God appeared to them. And God promised to deliver them. And God did deliver them. And when God appeared to them, God revealed himself to them. And God gave himself a name. And God said, I am Jehovah. That is the word that is translated in the Old Testament, Lord. When you see that word Lord in capital letters, that is Jehovah. And it is a reminder to the Israelites, it is a reminder to us, that the God to whom we pray is not some distant deity. He's not some remote figure. He's not somebody whom we have vague knowledge of and we know one or two things about him, but there is no relationship between us. That is not how it is. When you look at the word Lord, Jehovah, it is the name of your Father in heaven. It is the one who loves you, cares for you, has compassion upon you, has mercy upon you, is gracious towards you, whose heart is filled with love and mercy towards you. This is what David is doing right at the beginning of this prayer. David reminds himself of who is this God to whom I go. David casts his mind back to the history of his people when his people were slaves in Egypt. And David remembers how when they were slaves in Egypt, Jehovah came and Jehovah revealed himself to Moses and Jehovah empowered Moses and Jehovah delivered the people of Israel out of distress and slavery and took them through the wilderness into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is God. And when David is in distress and in difficulty, when his foes hate him with a violent hatred, David goes to God and David says, my Father, this is your child. This is the one whom you love. And I have come to you in prayer. I've spoken much about the devil this morning. And this is another thing that the devil does when we face trials. He wants us to forget that God who is in heaven is our Father. He wants us to forget this. He wants us to forget the fact that when we are in trials, we can run to him. Even if those trials are of our own making, even if it is our sin that has brought those trials, there's a very strong indication in this psalm that the trials that David faced here were of his own making. He says, doesn't he, in verse 18, forgive all my sins. In the heart of that passage where he describes his trials, right in the center of it, he says, consider my affliction, my trouble, forgive all my sins. So he's conscious of this, and it is possible, we can't be 100% sure, but it is possible that it was his sin that brought these trials. You notice again in verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. So it might have been that David's troubles were his own making. Perhaps it was his sin with Bathsheba. Perhaps some other area where he had sinned and trials came. But David doesn't forget this. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I've committed tremendous sin, but God is my Father. And God doesn't cease to be my Father just because I've fallen into sin. God doesn't cease to be my Father just because I've fallen into dreadful sin, terrible sin, sin with a high hand, sin in the light of God's word. That doesn't mean God ceases to be my Father. You see, this is a tremendous prayer of faith. And I say this to you. You may have trials, and those trials may be your own making. God is still your Father. God still loves you. God's love for you hasn't diminished because of your sin. God's grace towards you hasn't lessened because of your sin. God's compassion towards you is no less because of your sin. If anything, God's compassion towards you is greater. Now, that's not a license to sin, but that is the truth. Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. So God is our Father, and God cares for us, and God loves us, and God is compassionate towards us. Many of you here are parents. And do you remember that time when your child came to you? And your child could hardly look at you in the eyes because they'd done something terrible. And they looked down on the floor and they said, "Mom, Dad, I've done something." In my experience, usually they've spoken to Mom first. And Mom has said, "Go and talk to Dad." Because Mom, for some reason, was always viewed with more compassion than Dad. And so they've gone to Mom and they said, "I've done this and this." And Mom has said, "All right, we'll pray about it and we'll ask God to forgive, but you must go and talk to Dad." And so they come and they sort of, "Dad, I've done something." Now, I don't know about you, but I never felt hatred towards my children when they did that. I never said to my child, "You're no longer my child. I'm rejecting you. I'm striking your name off from the family Bible." Not that we have one. But I'm removing you from having any ownership and so on. "You're no longer my child." I've never done that. And no parent ever has. I take no credit for this. This is the grace of God. No parent ever has. And frequently you feel compassionate. Now, you don't excuse the child their sin. You discipline them. Of course you do. But you feel compassionate and you say, "This poor child, they've come under this temptation and they've fallen. I'll help them through it." And you pray with them through it. And you say, "Well, this temptation came, you gave in, you did this. Let's pray about it. Next time when the temptation comes, come and talk to me and we'll pray again." So we must never forget this. We must give ourselves to prayer when we're facing deep trials because God is our Father. But there's a second reason in this passage why we should give ourselves to prayer when we're facing deep trials. And it is because God is mighty and powerful. Because God is mighty and powerful. In verse 1, he addresses him as Lord Jehovah. In verse 2, he uses the word God. It's a different name here. And this name, God, is Elohim. It is the name that is used in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That name is Elohim. And every time you come across that name, Elohim, that name is communicating the power and the sovereignty of God. That name is saying to us that God is in heaven. God is the creator of the universe. God controls the universe. God rules the universe. And God has everything in the universe in His power and control. There is nothing in the universe that is beyond Him. There is nothing too difficult for Him. There is nothing outside of His ability. God rules all things. God controls all things. So you see how David is progressing in his prayer. He first remembers that God is my compassionate, loving, merciful Father. But you know, you can have the finest dad in the world. And you can take to him your problems and he wants to help you, but he simply can't. This is how it is with human beings, isn't it? Your child comes to you. And your child says to you, "You know, Dad, I've got these major exams coming up. And you know, I've said to you that every evening I've been in my bedroom revising. Well, I haven't been revising, I've been playing computer games. And the exam is tomorrow. I don't know a single fact. Now you want to help. You know, I wish I could do something. I wish I could set the exams for you. I wish we could bribe the examiner. I don't know, we could do something. But you can't. However much you want to help your child has done wrong. They haven't revised as they should. The exam is tomorrow. They've had it. But you see, it isn't like this with God. That when you come to God in prayer, you aren't coming to a father who would love to help, but simply can't. You're coming to the father who wants to help and can. Because he is the creator God. He is almighty and he is all powerful. So you notice how David then words his prayer. He says, "To you, O Lord, compassionate, gracious, merciful God, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In my God, powerful, mighty, sovereign, all-controlling, in you, I put my trust." What a wonderful way to remember who God is as we come to prayer. You find yourself in difficulty. You find yourself in great, great distress. Perhaps even your own making. Remember God is your Father. Remember He loves you. Remember His heart is filled with mercy and grace and compassion towards you. Remember your Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Remember He is sovereign. He is King. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Wasn't that lovely to be reminded that this morning in that hymn? Rejoice, the Lord is King. So remember, your Father loves you. Remember, your Father is in control of all things. And then a third reason why we should come to God in prayer when we're facing deep trials. And the third reason is because God is our Savior. God is our Savior. Look at it from verse 4. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." So he has spoken about the Lord, he has spoken about God, and now he speaks about the God of my salvation. Because David, like us, knew salvation. He knew the forgiveness of sin. He knew what it is to have God say to him, "Your sins are forgiven." He knew what it is to be washed in the blood of Christ. It was an event yet to happen, but he knew God was going to send his son, and he knew that his son would die for his sins, and he knew that one day all his sins would be washed away. He had the assurance of his salvation. David knew what it meant to be saved. All the Old Testament saints knew what it means to be saved. They had the same salvation through the same source that we have today. It was salvation in Christ. And so David says here, "You are the God of my salvation." Isn't it interesting? He says there in verses 4 and 5, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." What is all that about? I think what he's saying here is, "Lord, remind me of the privileges that are mine in my salvation. Remind me of the blessings that you've given to me in my salvation. Remind me of these things." Because when we're in distress and we're in trial, we forget this. This is what happens, isn't it? You face a difficult trial. And that difficult trial completely takes over your life. It's the only thing in your vision. It's the only thing in your horizon. You know how they say one coin can blot out the sun? Because it's so much nearer. So this trial has come and it blots everything out. It's there in front of you, this dark, difficult trial. And David says, "Yes, I know it's there, it's confronting me, it's right in my face, it's right in there in front of me." But he says, "I want God to remind me of my blessings so that I don't just look at my trials and be taken up with my trials, and all my thoughts and all my meditations are taken up with my trials. No, I want to go beyond my trials. I want to be reminded of the blessings that God has given to me in my salvation, because those blessings are so much greater than the trials that I'm facing here. Another trick of the devil, he makes us forget how gracious God has been to us. He makes us forget what great blessings God has given to us, how great those blessings are, and how they are eternal blessings. And we begin to look at this temporal trial, and it takes over our life. And David says, I won't allow these trials to do this. I want God to remind me of my blessings. I visited Audrey on Friday, 2 days ago. And Audrey is a member of this church. She's 101 years old, nearly 102 now. And it's wonderful to visit her. And she was saying, what are you preaching? And I said, I'm preaching the Psalms, Audrey. And she said, ah, the Psalms. You know how people, they remember the Psalms. And she said, read Psalm 103. That's my favorite Psalm. I didn't know it was Audrey's favorite Psalm. Read Psalm 103. So I turned to Psalm 103 and I began to read the blessings of salvation, because that is Psalm 103, all the blessings of salvation. And I was reading it verse by verse. And she said, read that bit again. That bit you just read, read it again. And I went back to the verse I just read. As far as the east is from the west, thus far has He removed our transgressions from us. You see what she was doing? She was remembering the blessings that God has granted her. She was remembering that her sins have been gone. They've been taken away in the blood of Jesus. They've been removed as far as the east is from the west. And there was this lovely smile on her face because she remembered her blessings. Now Audrey has many trials, 101 years old. But you see, she remembers the blessings. What a wonderful example. If you're a Christian here this morning, God has blessed you. God has given you Christ. And God has given you the blessings of heaven in Jesus, the forgiveness of sin. Your sins have been cleansed. They've been removed in Jesus. You have a place in heaven. And that place in heaven is guaranteed. And you have your Savior who intercedes for you daily. You have the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you and is at work transforming you into the image of Christ. And He uses even the trials that He sends us to transform us. All these blessings, do not lose sight of them. And perhaps as I speak these words, you sit there and you think, I don't know what this is all about. What's he saying? Because you maybe have never come to this experience of salvation in Jesus. Can I say this to you? If you were to become a Christian this morning, if you were to be born again by the Spirit of God, if you were to ask the Lord Jesus to save you from your sin, what blessings would come to your heart today? What joy would come to your heart today? Because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that we might know forgiveness. Do you know the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know that your sins have been gone? Do you know that your sins have been washed away in His blood? Do you know that you will enter heaven when you die? Do you have an assurance of this thing? Do you know this thing in your heart of hearts? If not, why not today come to Jesus? Why not ask Him to save you? Why not ask Him to wash you in His blood? Why not ask Him to forgive you your sins? Why not ask Him to make you ready for heaven? It is possible to know the forgiveness of our sins. And it is possible to know that heaven is my home and I am going there when I die. Why not ask Him to save you today? He is the God of our salvation. So three reasons why we should give ourselves to prayer when we're facing trials. God is our Father. God is mighty and powerful. And God is our Savior. May God help us to learn and to remember these lessons.